This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
Repeat after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Verse 28 of Luke chapter 14, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. This scripture we use as our text because we are strategizing for spiritual warfare. And the Bible says any person who is a wise strategist sits down and he does some planning in order to ensure victory. And that is what we've been doing in these last few sessions. We've been teaching you about the spiritual conflict that is going on, that all of us are a part of, so that we will understand it, we will get the knowledge that we need to get, so that we can be victorious in the conflict. Turn with me your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, and we will do a very thorough review, and then we'll flow into tonight's information. Colossians chapter 1. On last night, we established that there is more to life than what you physically see. That there is a whole nother arena that exists that is more real than the physical world that we see. And it is the realm of the spirit, and it was created by God. It was created by God. It was brought into existence by God. And it is a real world. Just because something is unseen does not mean that it is non-existent. So verse 16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So we see here that there is a whole nother realm, an invisible realm that we have reference to in the scripture that is a real world. And we establish that in this realm, there are beings that inhabit this realm. There are spiritual beings. God inhabits this realm. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit has access there and is there. And we found out angels are there and demons are there and the fallen angels are there. Satan is there. And we have access because we are spirit beings. We looked in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, just make a note of it. And we found out that we are tripartite beings, body, soul, and spirit. And because we are spirit beings, we have access into the spirit world. And then we found out that our faith-filled words from John 6:63, our faith-filled words have access or have impact in the spirit world. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And there we pointed out a scripture reference for this conflict that we're involved in with the spirit arena. There is a spiritual conflict that's taking place, and you and I are a part of it. We are a part of it. All right, there it is in verse 11, says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or heavenly places. So I understand here from this scripture alone that we who are believers, we are definitely in a spiritual battle, a conflict. We are in a war with these spiritual forces. Turn with me your Bibles now to Ezekiel chapter 28. because we began to look at how a wise strategist would go about a war. That he would first do some reconnaissance so he could find out something about his enemy, find out something about the battlefield. He would gather information on his allies. He would know his weaponry. He would attempt to understand the times because he intends to win. And so we began to look at our enemy. We began to do an extensive look through the scripture so that we could clearly understand our enemy, Satan, and know what he's up to. And there in Luke, in Ezekiel chapter 28, are you there? Check with your neighbor, make sure your neighbor has it. We found out that he was created a perfect being, that he was not created to do evil, but God created him a perfect being. Let's pick it up there in verse 12. It says, "Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in the garden of in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. And the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." Now this is so awesome. "Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." So we understand that Satan was created a glorious being, a beautiful being. In fact, his job was to lead the creatures that were on the earth at that time, as well as the angels that were under his authority. He was to lead them into worship to God. Turn with me in your Bibles now to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, we see what happens to him after this iniquity overtakes him and he began to lead this rebellion. This rebellion in the heavenlies will stop, and then Satan was dealt with. Verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms?" So we see here that Lucifer was dealt with. Satan was dealt with, and he lost his original state, and we found out that he has been at war with the creation of God and with God from that day up until now. Now turn with the Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. So we located the point in time when this rebellion took place. Because in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, we see in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. But then in verse 2, we see something that is out of character for something that God would create. And there in verse 2, it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So we found scripture text on last night to prove that God does all things well, and that God creates all things perfect. So what happened between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and verse 2 was this satanic rebellion that threw the earth into a chaotic state, simply because not only did a third of the angels over which that Lucifer was in charge of rebel, but all of the creation on the earth. There were people on the earth at that time that were supposed to be worshiping God, that were deceived by the devil, and they also began to worship Lucifer, and they rebelled against God, and it caused God to be angry, and his wrath came upon the earth, and that was the earth was then destroyed. And so now we pick up the Genesis story with the restoration of the earth. Because what God says to Adam after he creates Adam, he goes to turn with me now to verse 26. After he creates Adam, he then tells Adam to replenish the earth, to replenish the earth. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Watch this. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and what? Replenish the earth. Well, you don't replenish something unless there was already a plenish. So this lets us know that there was already at one time before Adam a people here on the earth. And it was during this time when the wrath of God came on the earth that those people were destroyed. And we found out last night, and we're going to deal with it a little thoroughly tonight, that these are the present demons. Those people are the present demons that are in the lower part of the earth. All right? Then it goes on to say, and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. Now that word subdue is a very powerful word because it suggests now that there would be someone who would try to take the earth from him. So God cautioned Adam in the beginning that there would be some alien invasion. He cautioned him that there would be something, that there would be somebody who would attempt to take away from him what God had given him. It would have been unfair of God for God to put Adam in the garden and then not warn him of the satanic struggle that was going on. But he tells him to subdue the earth because God is letting Adam know that there is the presence of this evil in the earth, there is the presence of this rebellious spirit, and he has to be the aggressor to make sure that he does not lose what God has entrusted to him. Amen? All right, now turn with me in your Bibles now to Genesis chapter 3, because what happened was Adam did not obey God, and he allowed the devil to come in and to strip him by causing him to sin, to strip him of the dominion and the rights that God had given him, and he gave over, as it were, the lease of the earth into the hands of the devil. So we can pick this story up there in verse 1. It says, and says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of the every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God. They were already created like God, all right? Knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. They now had a self-consciousness. All this other while they had a God consciousness. Now they're conscious of themselves, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of God walking in the midst of the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam said, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Well, now God knew where he was. God wanted him to locate himself. Amen. Now, so we see here Adam fell. Now, when Adam fell and gave over the dominion that he had in earth over to the devil, God came on the scene immediately to judge him. He came on the scene to judge the serpent that allowed himself to be used. He judged the devil. He judged Adam. He judged the woman. And he judged the ground. God cursed the ground. So we see here that God says something here. I want to pick this up there in verse 13. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and over every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now this is so awesome, because Here, God sets into motion his plan for the ultimate destruction of the devil, which is the introduction of this pure seed, a second type of Adam that is going to come into earth, who is Jesus. And the devil understands that somebody is supposed to come through a woman that is to be his destruction. So he sets out, and last night is where we ended up. And I made some statements last night. Of course, those of you who saw the roll-in tape made some statements, but I didn't give proof text for it. And you can't make statements like that without really backing it up with the word. Amen? Now, the reason all this is so important, because we're going to see a track record of the devil always losing. Now, that's extremely important, because when you have an encounter with the devil, you got to know that God's folk always win. Amen. You got it? And so that's going to be the encouragement for you when you have your encounter. Amen? Amen? All right, now watch this. Turn with me in your Bibles and let's look at this passage. Genesis chapter 6. So the devil knows now that through the woman is supposed to come somebody that is going to be his destruction. So he sets about with the third of the host of angels that he was able to deceive, that lost their state, that were also kicked out of the third heaven where God and the angels originally were. They were kicked out of the third heaven. Now he gets them to go and have sex with the women that were in the earth. Amen. All right, and cause the whole race to be polluted. Amen. All right, let's pick it up right there. Verse 1, it says, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now you want to just take a little sidebar there and stop there. That's how many days God promises you. 120 years. Man's body was like, this is after the flood, you see. This is before the flood. This is after the fall. After the fall, God says, you know, that you ought to be able to live 120 years here on earth. So you got a right to believe for 120 years. Amen. You ain't going to live 120 years, but you got to keep living to see. All right. Don't die me now. Don't die. All right. Now, all right. Verse four. Now there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men and they bare children of them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was greater in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So now, God, what has happened now? These angels, sons of God, have now made it with these angels, these fallen angels, evil angels, had made it with women here on the earth, and they had polluted the seed. We got a hybrid race of folk walking around, part angel, part man. Got it? Now, look there. God's getting ready now. He ready to destroy the whole lot of them. Until verse 9, it says, all right, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And that word perfect is an awesome word, because there are some translations that translate that word pure. He was of pure stock. He was the only one left on the earth of pure Adamic stock whose lineage had not been polluted by these fallen angels. So this is why Noah was selected, because he could now be the person that God could work through him so that he could produce the man child that he wanted to produce, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, so then we left off talking about what God did. Now let's look at what God did. God judged these angels at the time their sin, and God stepped in and he came in with the flood, the second flood that destroyed all of mankind. Then God dealt with those angels. He chained those angels. And I want you to see it in the word so you'll understand that I wasn't just, you know, giving you some sanctified imagination last night. Amen. Now, There are five regions of the underworld. There are five regions of the underworld. In other words, see, there's a whole nother arena under the earth. Look there in Philippians chapter 2, if you will. Philippians chapter 2. Scripture constantly make mentions to something going on under the earth. All right, look there in verse 10. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth. Watch this now. And things where? Under the earth. So the Bible lets us know that there are some things under the earth. Scripturally, we see five regions under the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 32, turn that with me, verse 22. The Hebrew word Sheol, which means hell, which is translated in places hell, is the place for the rebellious souls of men. Deuteronomy 32. It's a place, the abode for the rebellious souls of men. Verse 22 says, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Well, now, this word here is that word Sheol, which is the place for the souls of those who are rebellious against God. Turn to Luke chapter 16, and we'll see the second region. Second region is the place paradise. And this is the abode or the place where the Old Testament saints went when they died. Place paradise, also called Abraham's bosom. Luke chapter, what'd I tell you? Luke chapter 16. Turn that with me. I'll start at verse 19. It says, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, verse 22, the emphasis verse, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. Now, and it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. This Abraham's bosom now is the place of paradise. That is also called paradise. It is the place where the Old Testament saints were. Turn to Luke chapter 23. Remember when Jesus was on the cross talking to the thief there on the cross? And he said something to him there in verse 43. Luke 23, verse 43. He said to him, and of course many of you who know that that the resurrection story and the crucifixion story, verse 43, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, unto thee, today thou shalt be with me, where? In paradise. So paradise is this region there where the Old Testament saints, when they died, that's where they went. All right, this third region is the region called the pit. Called the pit. Turn to Revelations chapter 9. Revelations chapter 9. The place called the pit. Revelations chapter 9. In fact, we also read it, we also looked at it in one of the passages in our opening passage where we saw that Satan was sent to the pit. And there were the other demons there, the other inhabitants were there waiting on him in the pit. Now the pit is the place, it is the abode for demons. These is where the demons, those disembodied spirits of those who were here on the earth before Adam was on the earth, who sinned and rebelled against God. That's who demons are. Amen. And they are in the pit. Look at the person next to say they're in the pit. Amen. All right, now. In Revelations chapter, what did I tell you? Nine. Chapter 9. We'll pick it up there in, isn't this good? Amen. All right. Revelation chapter 9. Let's pick it up there in verse 1. It says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Everybody say the pit. Now, remember when Jesus had an encounter with the demons? Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. He had an encounter with a man who was demon possessed. And that is one thing about the demons. They want to possess the bodies of those of us who inhabit the earth right now. You follow me? That is their goal. That's their goal. That's how they give expression to themselves, through bodies of believers or bodies of people, saved or unsaved. And we'll get to the point about a believer being possessed with a devil. No believer can be possessed with a devil. He can be attacked by a devil. You got it? He can be attacked. And so there's a difference between having a demon attacking. We'll show you that on the board a little bit. But that's what they want to do. They cause a sickness and disease, you see. And so we're going to look at a case here of extreme possession here, where they ask not to be sent back to the pit, because that is the place where they had been judged to be. Verse 26. We'll pick it up there in verse 26. It says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man who had devils, or other translations, demons, right? Those of you who have Amplified Bible, you see over there on the Amplified version part, it calls them demons. It said that's a Greek word, could have been better translated demons, and that's why we use the word demon. Long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tomb. So you know something was wrong with him. This man living in the graveyard, half naked. No, not half naked. No, he is naked. All right. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Now, it's amazing here that these demons recognize Jesus. And that's something. It's amazing that they see him and they recognize him. Now, they don't recognize him based on his earth suit, but they recognize him because they are able to see in spirit. Now, that's going to be important to us in a little bit, but because they saw in the spirit. Remember, we're body, soul, and spirit. So was Jesus. So they saw Jesus in the spirit, and they knew who he was. And so they began to immediately say, because they understand why he's come. He's come to do away with them. Got it? So they began to plead, say, please don't torment us now. All right, verse 29. And he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. Watch this. Here we go. Verse 31. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Now, he's not talking about the water. And those of you who have reference Bibles, you may have a little number by the word deep, because there it talks about the pit. That Greek word that's translated the deep here is also the same word used for the pit. So they were asking him, please don't send us back to the pit. Amen. Now, either tonight or tomorrow night, we're going to talk about how they got out the pit. You know, if they don't want to go back, well, how did they get out? Well, somebody asked them to come out. Amen. And the one you're looking in the mirror is the one who invites him out to be. We'll get into that. All right, now, let's look down at 2 Peter. Come on, 2 Peter chapter 2. We're still dealing with the underworld. We're still dealing with the underworld. We have identified the place Sheol, the place where rebellious souls of men go, the place paradise, where the Old Testament saints go, the place, the pit, where the demons go. And then there's a place, Tartarus, is the place where these angels who had sex with the women, where they were sent. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It says, for God, watch this down, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell. Now the word hell here is that word Tartarus or Tartarus. It is the place here where there's another region in the lower part of the earth. It is not the same as the others, because even though the Greek word is translated the same, hell, it is a different region of the underworld, because this is a place reserved for those angels that had sex with those women and shouldn't have done so. All right, watch this. All right. It says, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So they can't get out. They can't get out. They're chained there. They can't get out. All right. Now turn with your Bibles to Jude 6. Jude 6. Now you know Jude is the book that only has one chapter. So Jude 6. Here again, a reference to those angels who had sex with the women trying to pollute the human race so that they could interfere with Jesus coming into the earth. Verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So here it is, it's talking about, in Amplified, it says, the angels who did not keep, care for, guard, or hold on to their first place of power, but abandoned their proper dwelling place, these he reserved in custody, in eternal chains, bonds, under the thick gloom of utter darkness until the judgment and the doom of the great day. So I understand, I got scripture references that they're there and they're chained. Amen? All right, now, the fifth area is the lake of fire. The lake of fire. That is the fifth area, the lake of fire. And just make a scripture note reference of that in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Make a note. I'm not going to go there now because I want to really deal with these angels there in Tartarus. All right? All right, now, turn with me in your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you learning anything tonight? Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. We know that Jesus died on the cross. And so if he died on the cross under the old covenant, as he had to then go to the place where the Old Testament saints went. He had to go down into hell. That's what the Bible says. So he had to go down into the lower part of the earth. So let's pick it up here because we see that he did. There in verse 8 it says, Ephesians 4 and 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, talking about Jesus, wasn't it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So I got a scriptural reference here that Jesus did go into the lower parts of the earth. Now let's see where he went. Let's see if we can find out where he went. Turn with your Bibles now to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. All right. 1 Peter chapter 3, are you there? All right, look at verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now let's think about this. He preached to the spirits that were in prison. Now if, as some have said, he was giving them a chance to be saved, because a lot of people say, well, what he was doing was he was preaching to the Old Testament saints to give the Old Testament saints a time to receive him as Savior so they could get saved too. Well, that would mean, that would totally do away with the scripture that, you know, You know, got one chance. That would be a second chance. Wouldn't that be a second chance? I mean, it would be a second chance for them if they could live like a dog and then Jesus go preach to them in hell and get them out. But that's not where he is. He's not there. This scripture is not a reference to him being in paradise. This is a reference for him being in, when you look at what it says, spirits in prison, it is talking about the place of Tartarus. He's there talking to these fallen angels who thought that they had polluted the earth, the seed of man on the earth, so that they could prevent him from coming. So he stops by there also to let them know. I got spiritual record now. He stops by there also to let them know that their plan failed and God wins again. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, look, verse 20 says, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was in preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. So see, it references these spirits in prison because of what they did during the time of Noah. See, so with crystal clarity, I understand what happened. So now Jesus makes it. Look at the person that said Jesus made it. Now, turn with me in your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 6, because the war is not over. We're just looking at several battlefronts, but there are still other battlefronts. Ephesians chapter 6, we want to get a present day perspective of the battle, because Jesus came to usher in the new covenant. Ephesians chapter 6, are you there? Watch this now. We read it earlier. We want to read it again. But we want to draw the battle lines, and we want to look now and see how everything lines up. Because the devil has rank and file, and his rank and file we need to understand. And there it is in verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in where? In high places. Here are the five ranks and file of the devil, or five divisions of satanic rank. Number one is spirits. He said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, so we wrestle against spirits. Number two, principalities. Principalities are the chief rulers of the fallen angels. So they have an order set up. Number three, powers. Powers has to do, and it comes from this word that's this word that means authority. So these are fallen angels who execute the demands of these chief rulers. And then it has the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now that's an interesting point, because the word world here has to do with social system, social order, the word cosmos, which means now he's not talking about a spirit being here, but he's talking about certain men who are demon possessed, who are in positions of power, who are carrying out the will of the devil. I believe Hitler would fall into this category. Anybody kill that many folk? Idi Amin, I believe he'd fall into this category. Got it? Wicked rulers who are carrying out. Of course, that's a whole bunch of them. But you start calling a bunch of names, you know, people get all upset with you. All right. And then the fifth level is spirit wickedness. This is just the host of fallen angels. All right, now, so the demons, the chief rulers of fallen angels, those who have authority to carry out what the fallen angels told them to do, and then the rulers of the darkness, those who are possessed, and then the rest of the host of the fallen angels. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Now, the reason the devil got five is because he copped off with a God. Because there are five level or categories of angels. Five categories of angels. They are our allies. So if I'm going to fight a battle, I need to know who's on my side. Amen. All right, now, Are you there? What did I tell you? Hebrews chapter what? Hebrews chapter 1. Now let's look here. We're going to see that there are angels and that they're on our side. Praise the Lord, they're on our side. All right, verse 13 says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So understand that the angels have been sent to work on my behalf. Five categories of angels. Number one, make a note of it. Five categories of angels. Number one is seraphims, the seraphims. We see them in Isaiah chapter 6. And they are the ones who are around the altar marveling at the revelation of God's holiness. They're looking at each other all day and all night saying, holy, holy, holy. Then number two is the cherubims. The cherubims are those who are also connected with the worship of God, and they are around the throne as well. The third level of angels, or in the order of angels, what the Bible calls the living creatures of Revelation chapter 4. These are angels called Zoa, Z-O-A, that's the Greek word, the Zoa category. Number four would be the archangels. And we would know the archangels, those are Gabriel and Michael, and Lucifer was an archangel before he fell. And then number five would be the common rank of the angels, those who just encamp around about us to keep us. Amen. Now, angels are powerful. They look like, in some cases, they look like men. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus got ready to ascend, they looked and they saw men in white apparel standing there. So angels have the ability to take on a human appearance. In Lot's case, when the Sodom and Gomorrah was so wicked, the homosexuals there in Sodom and Gomorrah, when the angels visited Lot's house, they told Lot, we want them. Amen. Some good-looking men, we want them. And Lot said, no, I tell you what, I'll give you my daughters. They said, we don't want them. We want them men. All right, that's the truth. So y'all laugh at that, but that's the truth. All right, so the angels protect us. They don't need rest. Demons do need rest. Now, I'm serious. I'm going to prove it to you by the Bible. Demons need rest. And I can tell you real easy. Many of you remember the story. But I'm going to have to wait until the next time to give you the story. Luke chapter, yeah, but demons have to rest. The Bible says that when the demon's walking through dry places and he can't find a home, and and he's looking for rest. So, I mean, they get tired. Then he find none. He said, I'm going to go back to my old house. They need rest. So remember I told you once, a long time ago, I said God spoke to me one time, and God told me, he said, that whenever I was having a battle with the devil, to just keep on persevering. He said, because when I'm tired, they tired too. And so God told me, you just outlast them. So they get tired. So when you're in a fight with a demonic spirit, and you getting tired, just rest assured, he getting tired too. Now, angels don't need rest, because the Bible in the scripture says there in Revelation that they rest not. They just go on and on and on and on. So that's why when the angel is ministering to you, he's ministering you always from a place of strength, because he never gets tired, but the fallen spirit does get tired. The demon does get tired. Amen. Luke chapter 10. Did I tell you go there? We'll close with that. And that's simply because I cannot end one of these tapes without this positive point of our victory. Because I don't want anybody to pick up one of the tapes and just get part of it. I gotta understand the devil's trying to embarrass God, but we're not gonna let it. Amen. He's trying to overthrow God, but he can't. He's trying to impose his will on the earth, but he can't. He's trying to eradicate the plan of God out of your life, but you're not going to let it. Because Jesus says something here in verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power. Look at the person that said, I got the power. I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and what? Nothing shall by what? Nothing shall by what? Any means hurt you. Amen. But now we got to understand, we don't just have this power for our protection, that we're in a war. And we are supposed to be actively engaging the enemy. Now that's the problem. The church has been so afraid of the devil that they have been satisfied with just protecting themselves. But no. This spiritual boot camp this week is to get you ready, so that you become the aggressor. Because we are supposed to engage the enemy. We're not just sitting back and say, well, if you don't bother me, I'm not going to bother you. No, we intend to bother the devil. Not only will we get our children free, but other children who are bound, we want to get them free. Are you listening to me? I mean, that's what Life Change Institute is all about. Life Change Institute is our aggressive attack against the forces of darkness. We will not sit idly by and let him wreck the lives of men when we got the answer. Glory to God. We engage the enemy, amen? That's why we're going to put up the unit for women, because we refuse to sit idly by and let him wreck the lives of women. I told you he's in trouble now, because see, after this next session, you're going to know how to minister to people. You're going to know how to run the devil off, because you are the aggressor. And when you see him stick his ugly head up, you're not going to be afraid and back down. You're going to understand, I always win. I have the power. Let's get it on.